Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is John Batchelor. Good evening. The show begins tonight in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen. Iraq for the militias that continue harassing the region, threatening the U.S. and its allies. Linked to Tehran, but not entirely beholden to Tehran. These are Iraqi militias. One is called notably Kataib Hezbollah. Well-organized, and they existed before the Iraq War, before the Kuwait War. These are long-standing organizations, gangs, military gangs. Also Afghanistan, what is to be done? The ICC, which is not accepted by the U.S. and its allies, has now named 2 prominent members of the Taliban government in Kabul as war criminals. In addition, Yemen, the Houthis remain unsolved. They continue to harass traffic in the Red Sea, and that is a threat to the global economy. To Ukraine, John Hardy joins from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Bill Raja, who reported on the jihadists, stays with me as my co-host. Incremental movement on the battle space these last 2 weeks for both sides. The Russians not making success in the Kursk salient, that's Russian territory, and the Ukrainians not holding back the Russians from incremental demands, advances in the Ukrainian territory. The larger story is, can President Trump bring something that will settle this off the battlefield, such as a negotiation with the Kremlin and Beijing? And then turning to the hostages in Israel, several have been returned, more are promised, but Hamas does not keep its bargains easily. And there's been an eruption, and there's no confidence that the truce or ceasefire as it negotiated can be followed through. Many of the hostages are dead. It's a grieving time in Israel. At the same time, Lebanon is not solved. The ceasefire is extended till mid-February, but it's not much of a ceasefire. Hezbollah provokes and threatens. There are arms all through the southern part of Lebanon. The Lebanese army is not worthwhile. It is not doing its job. It's not going to do its job. Conversation with David Daoud about that, and a conversation with Malcolm Holine about that. David Daoud also reports on the West Bank. The West Bank front has awakened after the Gaza fight for more than a year and the Hezbollah fight for more than a year. The different gangs in the West Bank are aggressive. Islamic Jihad is mentioned. Hamas, not much. And then a lengthy conversation with my 2 correspondents from the Americas, Joseph Umar, Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil, about the deportations. Gustavo Petro of Colombia's initial reaction was to refuse the aircraft filled with Colombians being returned. These are single men. I'm told that there's some law on them, either here or possibly suspect. They look healthy and young and dangerous. They're led onto the aircraft in chains, and they're linked in handcuffs while on board. Why? Because there are not enough soldiers to guard them, and they don't want an eruption on the flight. This is the way it's always been, I'm told by Joseph and Ernesto, before Donald Trump was president. So the objection from Gustavo Petro in Bogota and Lula da Silva's government in Brazil is arbitrary and provocative. No one said anything about the previous flight. We turn now to Mexico, aiming to cooperate, we believe, with the deportations that are imminent. However, there's also the matter of the drug gangs, the cartels, and late reports include gunfire between the cartels and the Border Patrol. That is not going to go well. The details are too sketchy to report, just gunfire, shots fired. Joseph Umar also comments on why Panama is so critical to the U.S. and to the Americas. Marco Rubio, the new Secretary of State, is heading to Panama in his first overseas trip. He'll visit other parts of the Central America, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Guatemala. But Panama's the big one. The United States is obliged to defend it. It is not now well defended. China, the bad actor China, has access to both ends of the port through a company that claims to be private, run by a billionaire out of Hong Kong. And then the good news, Argentina grew over the year despite the estimates by economists that it would shrink. It did not contract. It grew nominally 0.1%, but that is a reward for Javier Milei's libertarian policies. Then Russia, conversation with Katrina Vandenhoevel, who's very well acquainted with Russia, about why it's necessary to follow through on Mr. Putin's wish to restart talks about reducing nuclear weapons. U.S., Russia, and China talking about it. And Katrina's of the opinion that Mr. Trump should move on it, that it's even more important than settling the Ukraine war. And then Thaddeus McCotter joins to recommend showing compassion for the homeless and despairing in Los Angeles and not making unwise and unkind remarks about voting for people who are inadequate as leaders. Show compassion, recommends Thaddeus. And finally, a conversation about trade in China. Foreign investment is fleeing China for good reason. It's non-transparent and it's acquisitive. And the nukes, the DOD has ordered a nuclear posture review, the first since the Reagan administration. We need to build a nuclear weapon that can match those built by Russia and China. We do not have a cruise missile, nuclear tipped or not. It was done away with. The Tomahawk was discontinued. How long will it take to build one? A long time. Peter Husey records his thoughts. There's much more to the show. I thank you for listening. Good night.